Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a sub in Ableton Live 12 that does way more than just sit under the track. We're going for that sweet spot where modern punch meets vintage soul, so the low end feels glued, alive, and a little haunted in the best possible way. This is an advanced jungle and old school DN beat approach, so the key idea is simple. Don't think of the sub as a boring sine wave parked in the background. Think of it as part of the groove, part of the tension, part of the drop's identity. We're going to create a clean, disciplined source sub first, then resample it into audio so we can shape it like a classic sampled bass phrase. Start with a new MIDI track and load operator. We want a very pure foundation here, so use only oscillator and set it to a sine wave. Turn the other oscillators off. Keep the amp envelope fast and controlled, with no long release tails that could smear into the kick or snare. In DNB, release matters a lot. If the tail is too long, the low end starts to blur the groove, especially once the breaks get busy. Now write the bass line with the drums in mind. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They write a cool bass line in solo, then it falls apart the second the break comes in. Instead, place your notes so they leave space for the snare on 2 and 4, or in jungle terms, let the bass breathe around the break pattern. Start simple with root notes. Then add movement only if it supports the rhythm. Short stabs work well for chopped break sections. Longer holds work better for rollers and heavier drop sections. A really useful old-school trick is a call-and-response feel. For example, let bars 1 and 2 hold a root note under the break, then use bar 3 for a small pickup, maybe even a 1 or 2 semitone approach note, and bar 4 can rest or answer with a short note before the phrase loops. That tiny bit of tension makes the bass feel intentional instead of repetitive. Before we resample anything, clean up the source chain. On the sub track, put EQ8 first, then saturator, then utility. Use EQ8 gently. If there's unnecessary rumble below 20 or 30 Hz, clean that up, but don't thin the sub. If it feels woolly, you can ease out a little of the 120 to 180 Hz range. If it disappears on smaller speakers, you can add a very subtle boost around 50 to 70 Hz, but only if the mix can handle it. Then add saturator with just a small amount of drive, maybe 1 to 3 dB to start. We're not trying to turn the sub into a distortion experiment. We just want enough harmonics that the note reads on smaller systems. Turn on soft clip if you want a little more edge. Finish with utility and set the width to 0% so the bass stays locked in mono. Now bring in your drum reference or your actual break loop. This is where the groove gets real. Loop the section and listen to the bass against the kick and snare, not by itself. In DNB, the kick is basically a decision maker. If a sub note sounds huge in solo but weakens the kick, it's too long, too loud, or too harmonically busy. A slightly smaller bass that lets the kick punch through usually feels bigger in the full mix. Use the grid to line up note starts with a drum pattern, but don't be afraid to nudge them slightly if the groove feels too robotic. The best jungle and old school bass often feels played, not pasted. If you want a little shuffle, you can use groove on the drums, but keep the sub more stable than the break. The bass should anchor the rhythm, not wobble all over the place. Once the source sub is behaving with the drums, it's time for the fun part. Resampling. Create a new audio track and set the input to resampling. Arm the track and record the sub performance in real time. Don't just bounce one loop and call it done. Capture a few passes. Do one clean pass, one with slightly different note lengths, and maybe one with a little filter or automation movement if you want extra options later. This step matters because resampling turns the bass into something that behaves more like a sample. It commits the performance to audio, which means you can slice it, move it around, reverse it, or rework it like an old jungle weapon pulled from a sampler. Keep the original MIDI version around too. Mute it if you want, but don't delete it. It's useful to compare the clean synth version against the resampled version while you mix. Now treat the resampled audio like a vintage bass sample, not a sterile synth. Build a processing chain with stock Ableton devices. A good starting point is saturator, then drum bus or dynamic tube, then EQ8, then utility, and maybe a gentle compressor if needed. With saturator, try a little more drive than before, maybe 2 to 6 dB. If you use drum bus, keep the drive moderate and be very careful with boom. Too much boom can fight the kick and make the low end feel bloated. Dynamic tube is great if you want a more worn, soulful feel, but keep it subtle so the sub stays solid. At this point, listen for the magic zone, where the bass becomes audible on smaller speakers, but still feels focused and controlled on big monitors. That's the sweet spot. You want attitude, not fuzz. Weight, not mud. Now edit the audio like it's a musical instrument. Slice the resampled sub into useful phrase pieces, the start of the note, the tail, the pickup into the next bar, or even a slightly noisy edge that gives a nice transient. You can use sliced new MIDI track if you want to rebuild the rhythm from the audio, or just cut and duplicate clips by hand in the arrangement. This is a really powerful jungle workflow, because it lets the bass line inherit some of the unpredictability of the breakbeat. Try making a short hit before the snare, then a longer sustain, then a rest. That silence is important. In darker DNB, removing the sub for half a bar can create more pressure than adding another layer. The return feels heavier, because the listener had a moment to feel the absence. Now add movement with automation, but keep it controlled. The best sub movement is usually subtle. A small lift and saturator drive before a big hit can make the phrase feel more alive. Auto filter can work great for intruder drop transitions. Utility gain is useful for shaping energy over sections. And if you want the bass to feel more pinned in the drop, a little compressor automation can help. Think in arrangement arcs. Maybe the intro starts filtered and restrained. Then the first drop opens up with a touch of harmonic drive. In the second 8 bars, maybe you add a little more saturation or tighten the envelope feel. Then for the switch up, drop the sub out for half a bar and bring it back hard. That kind of contrast is huge in this style. In dark DNB, tension often comes from what you remove, not what you pile on. Now bring the sub into full context with the drums. The low end in DNB is a negotiation between kick, sub, and break texture. Check the drum bus and bass bus together. If the kick lives around 50 to 60 Hz, you may need to let the sub sit a little lower, or vice versa. Remove unnecessary low end from the breaks if they're crowding the bass, and keep an eye on the 100 to 200 Hz range, because that area can get messy fast when break layers and harmonics start stacking. If you want a wider res or mid-bass layer, keep that separate from the sub. The sub should stay mono, stable and focused. Any width or movement should live above it. That's one of the biggest lessons here. Think in layers of responsibility. One layer owns the physical weight. Another layer handles dirt, motion or stereo excitement. If one layer tries to do everything, the low end turns blurry. A good test is to solo the kick and sub together, then unsolo the breaks. If the low end collapses when the break comes back in, the resampled sub is probably too full or too harmonically dense. Trim it back. In this style, less can absolutely feel bigger. A few advanced moves can take this even further. You can resample multiple passes and comp the best bits into one final phrase that lets you combine a clean, weighty take, a more driven take, and a slightly more aggressive take. You can also create a ghost version by duplicating the resampled bass, high-passing the copy, saturating it more, and blending it quietly underneath. That gives you presence without stealing sub headroom. Another great trick is alternating note lengths across phrases. One bar can use short stabs, the next can use longer holds. That push-pull motion fits jungle really well, because it mirrors the instability of chop drums. You can also use micro pauses before a key snare or downbeat. That tiny pocket of silence can make the bass return feel way heavier. For arrangement, think an 8-bar or 16-bar shape. Keep the first section restrained, then gradually increase activity, harmonic weight, or rhythmic answers. Save your most chopped or damaged version for later drop or fill. That way the track feels like it's evolving rather than looping. If you want to practice this properly, here's the challenge. Build a 16-bar DNB bass passage using one clean source and one resampled version. Make the first 4 bars sparse and controlled, the next 4 slightly more active, then add more harmonic weight, and finish with the biggest version plus a tension drop or fill. Check it in mono, check it against the drums, and make sure the bass feels solid with the kick. So the big takeaway is this. Build the sub clean, resample it into audio, and then shape it like a performance. Use Ableton's stock tools to add harmonics, control, and character. Keep the low end mono and disciplined. Use rhythm, editing, and automation to create movement. And remember, in jungle and old school DNB, the best sub lines don't just support the track, they help define the entire vibe. That's how you get modern punch with vintage soul. Tight, weighty, a little rough around the edges, and absolutely ready to sit under a breakbeat and make the whole tune feel alive.